Artwork Newspaper Issue 219. Winter 2021 to 2022. Title: What Goes Around, Comes Around, on Spirals, Circles, and Labyrinths. Picture: Labyrinth with Cross on Lowisa Waterford's tombstone by G.F. Watts. Here in Northumberland the rain pours down. In Glasgow, it's day one of COP26. Not far away, Lady Lowisa Waterford rests at peace in the churchyard in Ford Village. Down in Plymouth, the current exhibition at the Box Gallery is Songlines, Tracking the Seven Sisters, inspired by Dreamtime stories, ancient Australian creation sagas. A century ago, my maternal grandmother was championing the rights, education and well-being of Aboriginal women, too often victims of abuse by white settlers, men bent on exploiting the land and its riches, animal, mineral, vegetable and human. The connections? What goes around, comes around. Not only spirals, concentric circles, labyrinthine patterns, and rock art, but issues like justice, exploitation, sustainable living, and perhaps even the survival of Homo sapiens. The Seven Sisters are being chased across the land by a male predator, a shapeshifter like his Nordic counterpart Loki, often symbolized by a coiled spring-like spiral of potential energy, a serpent, as in the Garden of Eden in the Christian creation saga. As so often, a singular male hero is after a collective of females. Not always such a good idea. The sisters' encounters with their chaser are reflected and embodied in both the landscape and in the constellations in the night sky. Survival in the outback depends on sharing, working together, remembering ancient wisdom, embodied in the land, and passing it on to future generations. Concentric rings are a recurring motif in the artwork. This culture recognizes and respects the continuity and interconnection of the creative process, concepts which the modern world has largely denied or lost. Central to the Aboriginal life journey is positive creative interaction between male and female, living, working, and socializing together. That requires peace and understanding, shelter, and food. Lowisa, Marchioness of Waterford, who inherited the Ford and Ettal estate in 1859. Clearly understood that, devoting much of her time to improving the lives of her tenants and their children, be it by building new houses, establishing one of the country's first schools, and encouraging sobriety, so no public houses on her estate. She would have agreed with my grandmother, that the best home is run by man's and woman's mind cooperating. Given that our planet is our home, probably a good plan, to heed the words of Margaret Nale, the curator of the Seven Sisters exhibition. Here we are, 250 years after the British set out to colonize and civilize us, taking our culture to the British to teach them how to survive in this fragmenting world. Our civilization had the resilience and knowledge held in the Songlines to survive over millennia. An accomplished artist, tutored by Ruskin, Lowisa Waterford is best known today for the impressive series of watercolor panels of biblical scenes in Lady Waterford Hall. Less well known as her tombstone, designed by G.F. Watts, England's Michelangelo, considered one of the greatest of Victorian artists in his lifetime. At the heart of the Christian cross is a labyrinth. Labyrinths, spirals and concentric circles occur in ancient cultures across the world, symbols open to all manner of interpretation, pathways to the inner, unseen world of the ancestors, or the feminine, or the patterns of the two hemispheres of the human brain, or intestinal spiralings. Whatever their purpose, they continue to fascinate and manifest. In Edinburgh there's a labyrinth in George Square Gardens, based on a similar one in Charters Cathedral, and a spiral landform by Charles Jenks outside the Scottish National Gallery of Modern Art. To cap it all, the new St. James's Centre tops itself with a golden swirl. In 2013, artist Mark Wallina created 270 labyrinthine artworks for London Underground, reflecting on the mythic quality of commuters' daily descents and journeyings in that underworld. Back here in Northumberland, not far from Ford, are some fine examples of cup and ring marks, prehistoric designs carved into rock some 5 millennia ago, and still shrouded in mystery and conjecture. Astrophysicist Peter Tullard makes a highly original and intriguing case for these patterns to be tools for mapping the night skies, mirroring constellations, estimating relative brightness and nebulosity, and helping to predict lunar and planetary alignments. whatever their meaning and purpose. So long as we don't know what we don't know, these circular motifs continue to fascinate and inspire the imagination. One thing seems certain, both these enigmatic rock carvings and Aboriginal rock art are likely to survive a lot longer than the ephemeral, immaterial, and virtual electronic records of our civilization. It's a sobering thought. Nick Jones. Petroglyphs and the Stars in Northumberland by P.F. Tullett. Cambridge Scholars Publishing. www.thebarksplymouth.com/event/exhibition/songlines